This is Shelley Polyai. Today's date is November 4th, 2011. It is 3:51 p.m. and I'm conducting an interview with Barbara Ann Bauer Barrett for Quilters SOS Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Barbara and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. Barbara, will you tell me about the quilt you brought today?
I call this quilt Sing a New Song. It features a large bird in the center that kind of happened by accident. A few years ago, I thought I wanted to make a New York beauty quilt, and so I got started on all the arcs that takes, and soon decided I really didn't want to finish that. So they sat around for a while on the table, and one day they started to look like feathers to me. So I put them up on the design wall, and a bird came out. And I decided he was pretty enough to stand pretty much on his own with a few friends and a little suggestion of nature. The border is interesting. It's made from scraps from a weaver from Taos, New Mexico. She makes garments and sells her scrap bags here at festival. And I picked up a couple last year and turned them into a fringed border. And it's one of my favorite parts.
Why did you choose to bring this quilt to the interview today?
This is one of the more recent ones I've made. It kind of represents the way my quilting is changing since I began. My quilting is getting to be a little bit more free in design. I think the quilt represents a joy in nature, and we've recently moved to the country, so I've got nature all around me, and I'm more aware of it. I liked that it used old things or repurposed them, so that made it special for me. But it kind of represents a freedom. The bird is having a good time flying in the beautiful batik sky.
At what age did you start quilt making?
Seriously, about the mid-1990s. I've always sewn. I do know, as a little girl, my next-door neighbor friend and I one summer sewed probably about 100 yards of patchwork, maybe 2 feet wide, and miles of it, it seemed like at the time. But then I went on to other sorts of handwork, found those recently and gave them to her for Christmas, and we had to make a quilt the next year out of them. But really seriously, quilting not until, say, 15 to 20 years ago.
Did someone teach you, or did you just learn on your own like that?
I took a class. I gave myself a class for my birthday one year. It was hand piecing, very traditional blocks. I came home from the class and said, I'm not going to do this. Then my mom came to visit once, and we walked out. It was spring, and there were daffodils coming up in the yard, and I looked back at the house, and I said, I could make a quilt out of that. So I went back to the shop and bought all the fabric for that quilt and put my house in the middle with some flower blocks around it, and that was enough to get me hooked, and I haven't looked back. Now it's my main passion.
About how many hours a week do you spend on your quilt making?
Sometimes none. But a good week is when I can spend about 4 to 5 hours a day. I always do handwork at night. So I guess every day I'm doing something. But during the day at the machine or the design wall, a good day would be 4 to 5 hours. But some weeks go by that doesn't happen.
Do you belong to any art groups or quilting groups?
I belong to the Austin Area Quilt Guild and have for a long time. I belong to they call it a B. It's a neighborhood, not so much neighborhood anymore, but it's a group of women, small, that meets on some frequency. For us, it's a month. So I belong to the Night Bloomers Quilt Bee. I belong to the Blockettes Quilt Bee, which is a block exchange group. In Bastrop, I belong, where I live, and moved about 6 years ago from Austin, I belong to the Loose Threads Quilt Bee and to the In Stitches Quilt Bee. I think that's all.
Have advances in technology...
And to IQA. I belong to IQA.
Have advances in technology influenced your work?
To some extent, I've always been kind of a gadget person, so I must own 40 rulers. I did invest in a good sewing machine. I would love to invest in something to make machine quilting better, and someday I will. So that's an advancement I haven't taken advantage of yet. Computers. I do have Electric Quilt 6 and use it sometimes for portions of the design of a quilt. And of course, using the computer to communicate and for online research and even lessons and things like that has been a great tool. I'm also trying new threads, which I think have been made better for quilting.
What do you think makes a great quilt?
I thought about that one a long time. At the basic, you have to have excellent workmanship. That's like a given. And visual impact. Without that, it's not a great quilt. Beyond that, I think it needs to have a unique or a fresh view. And I got to thinking, because music has been a big part of my life too, how you'll be in the car and hear a song on the radio, and some songs you just listen to and others you start singing to. And you just, as soon as you start singing, your whole mood lifts up and you feel like you've been given a gift. You're just singing that song makes you joyful inside. And I think a great quilt has a similar, it triggers a response in you. And that's hard to quantify. But it makes you walk in. How did she do that? What made her think of that? It's a fresh approach, a fresh view. Of course, for me, then there are things that make a quilt great to me, and it always has to have wonderful color. I don't think that's necessarily true for everyone, but for me, I love color, I love symmetry, I love organic things, designs, but those three are more personal.
Are there any artists or quilt makers whose works you're particularly drawn to or that influence you in particular?
I've been influenced a lot by the artist that pioneered studies of color, like Jenny Beyer and Joan Wolfram. I'm always admired Sally Collins' attention to detail and her precision work. I love Gabrielle Swain's organic, nature-inspired graphic themes. I love Karen Stone's precision piecing and her idea that every block should be beautiful on its own. I like folk art, so Becky Goldsmith has been an influence. those are ones that come to mind.
What's your
Carol
favorite?
Carol Breyer-Fellert, not always, but recently, because of her organic nature, joyful, simple creations. That, again, her work is, how did she do that and what made her think of that? Okay.
What's your favorite technique?
I think people would say about me, and probably, I love precision piecing. I like folk art. I like wool applique. I love hand quilting. Those are my favorites.
Why is quilt making important in your life?
Well, the first reason is how social it is. Most of my friends are involved in quilt making. Not all, but most. And without those friends, my life would be a lot emptier. So the social aspect of quilting and sharing it with friends is super important to me. Then I guess the second thing would be, it lets me be an artist, or at least be artistic. I think that's in everybody to some extent, but it's hard to express with all the pressures we have today, and people don't think of themselves as artistic, and with quilting, anyone can be expressive to some extent, and so it gives me that
Are there any aspects of quilt making that you don't particularly enjoy?
I hate to baste a quilt. Starting a new project is hard. Once I'm into it, I'm in the swing of it. But getting off the paper into the fabric is sometimes hard, making the commitment to the design. And I think part of that is being trained to visualize the entire piece, and I'm trying to untrain myself to look at individual elements and let them tell you what to do next. I enjoy quilting. Machine quilting is difficult. I'm getting better, but it's still a challenge and sometimes frustrating. But I pretty much enjoy all of it, starting with buying the fabric.
Describe your studio or your workspace.
I'm lucky to have my own space. It's a 20 by 20 foot room. It's got It's got a smooth, easy to use floor. I have a fireplace at one end with two rocking chairs. I have my computer in a corner, a TV in another corner. My sewing machine is in the center with an ironing board at an L to the side. I have a large cutting table with usually too much stuff on it to cut anything out. I have a big design wall, and I have a wall of plastic shelving bins that I store all my fabric in by color. I have a tall ceilings, 10 foot, so pretty high up above the fabric storage, I have a clothes rack that runs 20 feet long, and I hang my quilts on that above my fabric storage so I can see them. And there's a shelf above that. I collect wooden shelf sitter animals of all funky types, and they're sitting up there looking down at me. I have a door onto a screened-in porch that looks out into the back of the property. So it's very nice, and I'm very lucky to have it.
Do you think that having the design wall helps a lot with your creative process?
It's absolutely essential. I use it all the time. I use it even before I've cut out the fabric to put things up and see how the colors look. I try to keep most of it available, unlike my cutting table, which is mostly unavailable. I put notices along the side, but I try to keep about 6 by 8 feet always open. And I put up all my blocks. I use it constantly. I don't know how anybody could see their project well without one. It's a simple design wall. It's not permanent. I covered 2 insulation boards with fleece fabric and leaned them up against the wall. So it can be taken down if I have to, or moved if I have to.
How do you feel about machine quilting versus hand quilting?
I think they're both wonderful. I enjoy hand quilting more than machine quilting. I think machine quilting has changed the art form because it's on 2 levels. One, it has changed the type of quilting people do and made quilting take off in a new direction, more intricate, certainly more intense, more a part of the design. The other thing is it's helped people finish quilts. And I see nothing, I hand quilt some quilts, I machine quilt some quilts, and I send some quilts to a good long arm quilter. And there's a role for each of those in your life. And it's great to have that much choice. So I use what makes sense. And I think without machine quilting, a lot fewer quilts would be getting made. It's put it into people's hands. It's made it more achievable. And because of that, there are more quilts. And I think that's great.
Are there other quilt makers in your family?
Yes, my sister quilts, my mother quilts, and I'm trying to get some of my nieces to quilt, and they have taken to it. One who's an adult makes some quilts. She has a baby, so not as many. And the others that are in school have all tried their hand at it from time to time. You know, we're always trying to convert people to quilting.
So it doesn't impact your family in a bad way, your quilting habit?
No, I think it, for me and my husband, we each have hobbies we're very involved in, and that's good in a marriage to have individual pursuits and then to come together at the end of the day and be able to share it. I love sharing it with my mother and my sister. It's fun to get my nieces involved So it's been nothing but good, I would say.
Have you ever used quilting to get through a difficult time?
Yes, I have. The first time I remember is after my younger brother died in 1998. I made quilts for his four daughters out of his t-shirts and neckties, and that was very healing. And they love having something of his to cuddle with. We recently had a big wildfire episode in Bastrop County where I live, and it took me a while to want to sew again, but it was through deciding to sew things for other people in my community that made it possible to enjoy it again, and that was very healing. And I think from everyone I've talked to, and me too, when a tragedy happens, it takes away for a while your desire to quilt for whatever reason. And it takes something, usually, not just me, other people I've heard, first steps out usually involve doing something for another person with your quilting, and that gives you some purpose in what you're doing while reawakening the passion you really do have still hidden inside you for it. And then you're back in the groove and you can go on from there.
So have you ever taken any really long breaks from your quilt making?
No more than a few months.
You mentioned making things for people in your community. Was it quilts or quilted items to help out after the fire, or
sometimes
other projects?
Sometimes it was just, I'm right now making a quilt for a firefighter who lost his home. I'm making some placemats for the people who loaned us a place to live. Things like that.
Do any of your quilts reflect your community or your where you live? And
not specifically. I don't set out to make a Texas quilt or a... I do tend to make a lot of quilts about trees. I've always loved leaves and the look of forests. And a lot of several of my quilts that I think are some of my better quilts explore that. And I find myself more and more focusing on elements of nature to be expressed somehow in my quilts. I recently made a quilt for one of my nieces that was a garden quilt and had a path going off in the distance. I've made a quilt with, the one in the book is trees. It's called The Forest and the Trees. This one has a lot of leaves quilted in the background. And it has the birds and the branches. I've had two quilts in the IQA show here, and one, they were both nature-oriented. I've made a tree quilt for another niece So I find myself drawn to those subjects quite a bit lately.
I think it's interesting, and other people have commented on the fact that you used the woven scraps around the edge of this quilt. Have you worked with other materials like that a lot, or do you mainly stick with cottons?
I mainly stick with cottons. That was a real experiment for me. When I saw them and touched them, I knew I had to do something with them that could be touched. You know, texture is a lot of what draws, for me, color and texture is what turns me on about a quilt. And I have done some work in silk, which is beautiful. I kind of learned the hard way some of the lessons about silk. The first block I ever made literally dissolved into a puddle of threads in my lap because I didn't know how to use the grain and cut the right direction. And it just fell apart on me. But silk is beautiful. I mostly deal in cottons, though.
What do you think makes a quilt appropriate for a museum or a special collection?
I think museums serve a role to capture the major things happening at a time period. They're a historical tool. And so I think collecting well-known artists is an appropriate focus for museums, especially now when there's so much to choose from.
How do you think that quilts have special meaning for women's history in America?
There's a lot written about how quilts have reflected the times that women have lived through. For me, it's a story of evolution. And that's what makes quilting so exciting, is that it does change. And today, it's always been a way for women to express themselves separate from what they do every day, and to give a voice to what's inside them. A lot of people, I suppose, in the past have used it to comment on history. That's never been a big thing for me. Quilts are more emotional to me rather than historical or documentary. I really don't like sad quilts. I don't like quilts that capture a sad event. Quilts should make you feel good. And there are enough other ways to remember the tragic events in our life. I think quilts are to remember the happy things and to bring joy to the people that see them. So I'm not personally one to use them to document my times. I'm using them as an expression.
Is there anything else you would like to add to your story before we conclude? What do you think someone viewing the quilt you brought today might conclude about you?
On the surface level, they would see what a lot of people see when they first meet me, is that I'm kind of meticulous and I have a lot of attention to detail. But I think that they, if they had never met me, they would might say some things that would be different. That they don't know me at all, and they would look at this quilt and they would say, that person is adventurous. That person has a lot of passion and joy for color and living things. And that person takes chances. And people that meet me on a different level, in a different context, might not ever say that, because I think those things are, I'm usually thought of as a pretty quiet and reserved person, and yet those things are inside, and people that know me a long time know they're there, but quilting gives me a way to express those things. I think that's a really healthy thing that other quilters can do with their work, is let it show what they know's inside but may not be so obvious.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
For me, it's been finding my own voice, my own style. There is so much diversity in quilting. You go to a major show like this and you're overwhelmed with the talent that you see. You think you can never do it. And I hear so many people walking the show saying, well, I'm never going to make another quilt again. I could never be this good. But there's some artists in everybody. And if you quilt every day, you get like a daily dose of beauty. And it can't help but let you free yourself to take more chances. And I think that's what holds people up more than anything, is letting themselves take chances with their work, not knowing where it's going to end up, feeling uncomfortable that they don't have a personal style. And I struggle with that. So I'm going to try to focus on smaller pieces and let them grow a little bit more on their own and a little bit less under the control of my brain. I admire organic designs, nature designs, and I think nature's a pretty strong force, a pretty strong power, and you can't control it. So maybe opening yourself up by tackling smaller things and letting them tell you what they want to be. It's a challenge to find your own voice and to feel like you can do it.
Okay, I'd like to thank Barbara for allowing me to interview her today for the Quilters SOS Save Our Stories Oral History Project. Our interview concluded at 4:27 p.m.